Hello, good morning. All right. If you have a Bible, I'm going to have you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And believe it or not, we're only going to do two verses today. And so should be short, but we'll see. All right. Let me go ahead and read this passage for us today. And then we'll just jump straight into it. Cool? All right. So let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for book ending the month of September and allowing us to enter into just a new month, God. So, God, we thank you that we're able to spend today, this first Sunday together here at this place where we get to worship. God, we thank you for the lessons that we were able to learn last month. God, some of it was fun, some of it was very difficult. But either way, Father, we know that you don't waste certain seasons and you don't waste certain moments. And now we look forward to how you might allow us to work out our salvation in this coming month, God. So we thank you for this moment. We thank you for the people sitting next to us and around us here in this space that we get to learn and be accountable to the scriptures together. And so, God, we thank you for this. It's in Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, church. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. I'm going to read these two passages. This is the feel of today, okay? So I feel like I've been here long enough with you guys to where we kind of get to know each other, right? So I'm going to try something different today. I'm going to walk us through the passage. It's going to feel like a hybrid of classroom work. But let me explain that real quick. It's more of a classroom setting to where I would like you guys to be able to take this passage and learn it and study it on your own. So I'm going to kind of give you some tips and tools to do that, but then also integrate a couple of things from what the Lord has taught me through this passage, right? So it's kind of a hybrid, testing it out. I'll get feedback from the leadership if that's cool or not. All right, so let me read this passage. As I'm reading this, if you want, identify some key words, maybe some questions in these two passages that jump out immediately, and then we'll maybe talk through it. All right, so this is Philippians 2, 12 to 13, and it reads like this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. All right. So again, let me try one more time, because I know it's church. Typically, they don't do this, but let me read it one more time so you kind of get the flavor of what Paul is trying to do for us. All right. So it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. All right, so that's our text for the day. But before that, there was a moment. I was in seminary. I don't know if even a lot of my own buddies have heard this one. I was in grad school up in Fort Worth, Texas, and back then there was really nothing to do. You guys are familiar with Fort Worth? I mean, I love it. It's awesome. Downtown's great. But I would always go down to Austin to go visit my buddies, and so we would just hop down 35 and just go spend the weekends there. One time my friend from Austin, they were still an undergrad, they were part of a ministry there, and they said, hey, Justin, we're going to take a mission trip to Matamoros, Mexico. And so they go, well, hey, you're a seminary student. We think you could help us or at least carry the luggage and stuff. You want to just come in? And I'm like, sure. And so I had no clue who was going to be there. I didn't even know this ministry too well, but my friend invited me. And so this was kind of the first time we would have hung out. And so they said, and I said, okay, is it even allowed for me to do this? And they said, yeah, that's fine. Just come down. So we were supposed to leave on Sunday morning, Saturday night. They're like, all right, just start heading down. So I finished classes and my responsibilities. I'm driving out about 11 p.m. at night from Fort Worth to Austin. And so that trip down is terrible because there's nothing there. There weren't Buc-ee's and stuff back then. It was just straight freeway. It was dark and stuff. And so 11 o'clock, start driving down. I think it takes 3 hours, 2 hours, depends on how fast you drive. So I'm driving down, and I think halfway through, I get a phone call, And my friend goes, hey, by the way, I don't think I'm going to go to this thing anymore. And so I have a decision to make because I'm halfway through. I've already paid. And as a seminary grad school student, I was broke, broke, right? And so I've already paid all the stuff, non-refundable. And so I had to make a decision. Do you make the U-turn at 12:30 in the morning and go straight back to Fort Worth, or do you go there, right? And so I don't know how you think through this. My mind goes into matrix mode. And by that, I mean like pros and cons, right? I'm like, it's going to be awkward. You're going to be the only one there. You're older than everyone. It's going to be odd, and they'll make fun of you, right? And so like there's all of these like why you shouldn't do it. It's going to take a week out of your thing. It's a foreign place. You don't know if they're going to whatever. And so I have this. And then my pros were it could be a good opportunity. And that's all I got, right? And so I'm trying to weigh the pros and cons. Grow. It's going to be way outside your comfort zone. You have all the rights and reasons to not do this. And yet, I was like, all right, let's just go, right? I meet 100 people from Austin, Texas, would never have met. It turned out to be one of the defining moments in my Christian faith. And here's the reason why. It's because I went in knowing, like, I have nothing to lose. I get to learn and meet people, and it will force me to grow more than I've ever wanted to do. And so, man, to me, I don't know if you guys have those moments, but for me, I look back and go, and I had a choice, and I'm glad I took the harder approach because that stretched me more than ever. The passage that we're dealing with today is going to be that type of, guys, as you go through this Christian journey, you will have many of those moments, huh? And it could be tomorrow, it could be this year, it could be the next 5 years. I don't know how that's going to play out in your life, but I know it's coming. There will be small daily moments where the Lord will ask you to, hey, do you want to grow? And you will have to ask yourself, do I want this? Yes or no? And there'll be bigger moments where he'll stretch you. For the Christian, there will always be moments and seasons where we want to stop, we want to quit, we want to resist, or we want to distract in order to grow. But those will always be present amongst the life of the Christian, right? It's tomorrow, right? Weekend comes, Monday to Friday. Hey, how do we want to continue to grow? All right, so let's go to the passage and let's walk through this slowly together, okay? So this is what I mean by the classroom setting. If you were now teaching 12 and 13, how would you teach this passage? So I'm going to give you some tools to do this by yourself, but also as you walk other people through this passage. Cool? So the first thing you got to look at is this. He says something here. He says the word therefore. And I always tell my friends and people I'm doing, you got to stop after that word therefore. And you have to ask, why is that word there? Okay? Who is he talking about? Where is this headed? What's his argument? He's going to say, therefore, my beloved, blah, 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 blah. You got to pause and you have to ask what is going on in the text or the part right before that, correct? So let me draw us back to chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And it's a long chunk of text, but it's important for us to see. Okay, so stick with me. I'm going to read a lot. Verses 1 to 11. All right. So, but he's going to use this as the anchor text for our two texts. So this is what 1 through 11 says. He says this. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, he says this. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceits, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Jesus Christ. And this verse 6 and following, this is going to be kind of like the mantra of the early church, right? This is like the coffee cup
camp t-shirt verse. He'll say this: Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, being humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then what's the effect? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why is this so important, church, friends? Because in these 11 verses, it is a fact that the Christian will act and do things as they grow only because they are in Christ and in the Spirit. Right? You can't get to verse 12 and 13 without understanding this. What it also says is the Christian acts as a result of the gospel, right? Jesus is going to model who the Christian is, and then Paul's going to say, with that in mind, now do these things, okay? Why is this so important, friends? Because if you're on social media or if you're on Instagram and TikTok and all this stuff, what you'll see in my feed is nice verses, right? Clips of celebrities or whoever, Christian influencers or whatever else like that. And they'll be there, right? They'll be, here are things to think about, here are things to do. And I get into the trap of going, oh man, I need to do this. I want to do this. But Paul says, hey, this is important, right? Pray, fast, tithe, do these things. And you'll hear that all over your small groups from this stage. But what is most important is this: you can't have the power or even the joy to do life as a Christian unless Christ has become your foundation. Does that make sense? Because you start doing things for God, you start doing things that sound good and Christian without your heart being changed, then this is an exercise in futility, right? You're putting a Band-Aid on a foundation or a structure that has holes in the ground, right? And so you can't get to, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, without understanding who you are in Christ, in the Spirit. Does that make sense? Right? And so you can't go too far into these passages because, man, I've heard so many sermons, they jump into verses 12 and 13 and they forget verses 1 to 11. And that's why Paul says, hey, don't forget the therefore. Huh? Y'all good? Okay, verse 2. He says this: my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. And if you're a parent of a college student, you will understand this verse. First thing he says here is, my beloved. Now, you go, is Paul just being sentimental? Why is he calling everyone beloved? And there's a reason. It's because this church in Philippi, it's actually his first baby. It's his first church plant. And so his mindset, the tone is, hey, you guys were the ones I started first. You're my firstborn, right? I'm going to set up the structures. I'm going to invest my life. I'm going to lead up these leaders, and I'm going to send you off, right? And he goes, and every parent, their thought is, are they going to survive? Are they going to go off the rails? If you've ever discipled somebody, your first question is, man, when I'm gone from that relationship or when I move on, are they still going to do what I've taught them to do? Or are they just going to like completely forget that thing? Isn't that the worry that we all have, right? And so time has passed, hope, expectations there. And he gets word and he says, I have heard the good news. I know you guys still love the Lord. And that is kind of what we don't want to miss. He says, man, I know you have obeyed this whole time, but now what's more important is, now that I'm gone, please still continue to do what I taught you at the beginning, right? Friends, if you're leading a small group or you're discipling someone, what is the most important thing? Good content, absolutely. But you're teaching them to obey and to work out their salvation while you're not there, isn't it? Isn't that the goal of a teacher too? Not just to absorb information, but to teach in a way that says, hey, with me gone in a few years or in 10 years, you will still have the foundations to do what you need to do. Isn't that true? That marks a good leader, teacher, parent, isn't it? It's let me train you up so that when you get older, you're not going to depart from what is good. So verse 3 is kind of the key verse. He says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So here's where it gets confusing. Because if someone teaches verse 12 on the surface, you have a couple questions. Because your question that you look at here is, you said, okay, hold on. As a Christian, I'm supposed to work out my salvation? And you go, I thought salvation was by grace alone, faith alone, isn't it? How do I supposed to work out the salvation? And it seems on the surface that it's my responsibility to do certain things so that I can get salvation, right? Kind of on the surface, that's what it seems like. But don't forget, where are we at in the chapter? We're in chapter 2, we're in verse 12. All chapter 1 and 2 before this, Paul was saying, God is the one who starts, God is the one who continues, and the God is the one who finishes. Salvation is a gift of God and God alone. And so when God has started this, hey, now it's your turn, right? It's your responsibility and your joy to continue this work that God has started to begin with, right? And so I think we taught this a month ago, right? I don't know if you guys still remember this. I think we were in Philippians 1:6, and that passage was, he who began the good work is faithful to complete it at the day of Jesus Christ, right? Friends, and this is key, you and I don't add anything to our salvation, but with joy, we get to work out our salvation with this fear and trembling. And here's the thing. Look at this word work out real quick. This word work out in the original language, it doesn't necessarily mean what you and I think. If you look at this word, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Right? I don't know, gym people, right? You're like, I'm going to work out, right? So I get to do this. This is actually a different word. This word here, work out, if you want to take notes, it means to bring about, or it means to allow to mature towards its intended goal. This word work out means, hey, you start here and you just grind it out, right? It's up to you, your abilities, your dedication, just go. This actually means, no, it started, you allow it to mature, right? You allow it to kind of go from point A to point B. Here's a couple passages to help us out. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says this, for this light momentary affliction is preparing, same word as workout, preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What this text says is suffering, right? The point of suffering and trials and even pain for the life of the Christian, the purpose is so that the Christian life is able to work out to prepare us for something as we grow, right? That's what that word workout looks like. It's this, hey, allow it to take place. Use it as a place of growth. And then, this is another interesting big thing about this word, workout. This is always plural too, right? He means you guys allow this thing to take place, but he looks at the church and he says, hey, there will be moments inside the church where there will be times where you decide, do we want to go left or right? And he says, you guys as a church, you will have to sometimes take the more difficult route, and that's going to be the right thing because it's going to refine and chisel, and it's going to shape your growth and your direction as a church. Okay? Here's the question, Dad. How then do you and I think about this? How do we work out our salvation? I think there's a couple of things. Number one, what you'll notice about verse 12, it's an act of faith, isn't it? He looks at the Christian and says, hey, guys, don't forget Christ has saved you. The Lord has saved you. But now let's get going, right? It's an active faith. If you look at the word work out, it's an active verb, it means now it's time to be active in this. It requires effort and intentionality. And some of you guys, that's the word you need to hear. Your Christian growth, surprise, is going to take effort and intentionality, right? I don't know how much we know about each other. I think we're starting to get to know each other. I'm in my gardening phase right now. And so ever since, I think, COVID, my wife brought me a picture of, like, this garden. It was, like, beautiful. And she was like, hey, can we have this in our house? And I look at the price tag. I'm like, absolutely not. This is crazy expensive. And so I had a year and a half where I had nothing to do. I was doing ministry online. And so I was like, I'll just build it, right? And so I didn't know as a homeowner how hard gardening was. I didn't know there was things called like weeding or aerating your yard. And so these last 5 years, I know everything there is to know about grass and weeding and stuff. But I'm like, I think the Lord is trying to train me in this season to understand this thing. Because if you've ever had to garden whatsoever, you'll realize that picture on the label takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Or that little Pinterest picture, you're like, ooh, it's so pretty. And then you start to like do it and you're like, oh my gosh, this takes so much time and effort. And I'm like, but is that not the Christian faith, isn't it? So the first thing you have to do with gardening or whatever, produce or whatever, your grass, is watering, right? In this summer, this last week has been no rain whatsoever. My water bill is like a gajillion dollars. But what you realize is there needs to be consistent watering, and that's just part of life. And I'm going, is how many of you guys, the reason why you're so dry, all right, and there's so much dead grass in your soul is because you haven't done the consistent watering in your souls, huh? And I'm like, I don't think it's like, ooh, so like profound, but I'm going, yeah. And I think a lot of times we go by like, man, how come the Lord is, I feel so dry. And I'm like, well, do you water it, right? Or do you just wait for the rain to supplement? And sometimes we just live in a spiritual condition called Texas, where sometimes it doesn't rain for a long time. And some of you guys, you're just waiting for the rainy season to supplement your spiritual soul. But the whole point of it is, no, 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 no. If you want to see produce later on, you want to see fruits, you got to be consistent in watering, huh? And then let's keep drawing this illustration. I didn't realize how hard weeding was. You don't have to prepare for weeds, huh? Like, I was like, oh my gosh. I look at yards of the month and I'm like, it's so beautiful. But then every single day for like 9 hours, the guy's out there on his hands and feet and just picking out stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, we love the picture of the garden and the grass, but we don't see the work. And I'm going, how many of us, we just let the weeds kind of take over everything? We want the picture of the nice garden and the grass, but you're like, but there's all this weeding that needs to be done. And some of you guys, let's be honest, somebody like you're like me, I'm like, we'll just mow it down so we can't see it. Anyone? Right? Or what you'll do is you go to Home Depot and buy that 100-pound bag of weed and feed, and you do this like once every 5 years, and we'll just chunk it in the soil, and you're like, I'm good. But no, that's not how weeding works, because weeds keep popping up. And here's the thing, what I've realized, I think there will always be weeds, huh? I think there will always be weeds. When I first bought my house, there was weeds all over the place. There's more weeds than grass, right? And what I've noticed, though, is this. But man, you put in that initial effort and you sweat to death, or you get your kids to work that thing, right? And you do it. What I realize in year 5, year 10, there'll still be weeds, but it's easier to identify and it's easier to pull out. Right? Because they're less and less, but you've done the hard work of doing that. And when Paul says, hey, work out your salvation, that's what he's talking about. Do you water consistently? And let's just be very clear. This is just basics, man. Do you talk to the Lord on a daily? Right? Or is it just your communication with the Lord is, dear God, thank you for this chicken nugget, in your name, amen. Right? Is that the constant? That's like sprinkling a little bit of water on your yard and be like, I hope it works, right? That's the extent of it. Do you put the effort into weeding certain things? This is daily going, man, I'm going to sacrifice this for this. And do you do that? And here's the hardest thing that I hate about gardening. And it doesn't make sense to me. And I don't know why the Lord has put this in the scriptures. There's this idea of pruning. Anyone heard about that? Pruning makes no sense in my mind. Because I'm cutting out what seems to work, like be good on the plant. And I'm like, but like, why would I want to do that? It seems healthy. And the Lord goes, hold on. There's moments where you need to prune off good things so that better things can take its place. Right? Because sometimes you prune out things that are good, but it will take away all that energy from the main plant. And what you're doing is you're taking all that energy from the bottom and you're trying to store it for something better. Does that make sense? You're depriving something good for something better. That's hard. That's what tithing looks like, friends. I'm going to release my hands on what I believe I earned so that I can invest in something that is eternal, right? I'm going to sacrifice this so that I can see more fruits. Friends, how often do you water, do you weed, and do you prune? And last one, I'll ask for this one. And how often do you fertilize, right? That's another one. And fertilization is, it's not the maintenance part, but it's taking extra resources to make sure that it becomes even more healthy and it works. And man, those are things where you got to plan and prepare and to be like, look, those are challenges that are way outside my comfort zone, right? And so that for me, that was that mission trip to Mexico. Friends, I'll ask that. And then we'll end up with two types of perspective. He says this, work out your salvation with fear, right? And you're like, that does not sound fun. But that's not like, oh my gosh, if I don't do my quiet time, if I don't pray, then God's going to kick me out of his kingdom. That's not this type of fear, right? Why? Because the Lord has already saved. And so what is he talking about? This is the Isaiah 6 moment where Isaiah, as a prophet of God, sees God for who he is. And he says, oh my goodness, I'm not worthy to do this. And what he does is says, I remember who I am. I remember who I know who you're trying to get me to be. And so it keeps him humble. So friends, part of the reason why, for some of us, we're just in a season of drought and just being parched is because we think we just forget who we are, right? In light of who God is. So some of us who are church folks, we've been church folks for a while, we forgot. Like, hey, we thought, hey man, I've served this long, I've done this, and I'm good. And I think some of us, we're not as desperate to weed, we're not desperate to prune, because man, our ability has carried us for so long, right? And this is just going, hey, don't forget who you are and don't forget who God is, because if you have the right perspective of who God is, it will always move you every day to grow. I promise you. You wake up in the morning and you remember going, God, I know I deserve death, and yet in your mercy, you give us life. How awesome is that? I'm not better than the person and my coworkers next to me, so I don't need to kill them with my words. You were killed on the cross for them, so I can love them. It changes your whole dynamic. Do you fear the Lord? And the last thing he says, work out your faith with fear and trembling. And again, it seems like, why has Paul put those two words? And there's always a hyperlink. Friends, when you look at these passages and you look at this fear and trembling, don't just go, okay, well, what does it look like to you? Always go, has he ever used these verbs before in the Bible? So what you do is you just go to Google, right? Type in quotes, fear and trembling, Bible, and see what pops up. And one of the verses that'll pop up that uses this phrase was the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, right? And she was desperate to be healed. And she thought maybe Jesus was the answer. And the text says, despite that she could have been killed, she could have been ostracized, she takes this faith to go to Jesus, and she goes through the crowd, and she touches Jesus, and what does she do? She gets healed. And the passage says, through fear and trembling, she gets off of her couch. She moves towards Christ because she goes, there's no one else in the world that can heal and save and get me to grow. So I'm going to do whatever I can to walk through this crowd, and I'm going to touch Jesus. And through fear and trembling, she sticks out her hands and she touches. Friends, do you approach the throne of grace like that? Right? Or do you strut through the throne room and be like, it's me, I'm here, right? Shower me with love, Lord, right? Like, or is it that? Or some of you guys are like, no, I'm too sinful to approach God. And the text that he reminds you of, church, is this. Yeah, man, the Lord is high and exalted, and yet he calls you, come to me, because I can save. He is worthy to be praised, and yet he invites us in. Why? Friends, and this is what motivates you to grow. Because you are his children. He wants you to go and bug him, right? I know as a father, it's annoying sometimes for my kids to wake me up at 6 o'clock on Saturdays to ask me what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm sleeping, right? And for me and my sinfulness, I'm like, that's annoying. Let me sleep for another 4 more hours, right? But I love it though, because they're my kids. Mike, if your kids came to me at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, I'm like, I'm not opening the door for you. I don't know you. I don't owe you nothing, right? But I go, no, my kids have a special access to daddy, right? Because they're my kids. And God's like, yo, he doesn't say yo. He says, you guys, y'all, come on. I want you guys to approach me like that. And that's why he ends with this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for what, friends? Look at the passage. For what? For his good pleasure. Why should you grow? Oh, because God's angry, right? Oh, because I need to? No. Look at the passage. He wants you to grow and work at your salvation because God's like, yeah, let's go, right? He's cheering you on, and he's like, I love the fact that my kids get to learn. Even in pain and suffering, my kids are allowing me to teach them. They're allowing it, right? Like, oh my gosh, they're doing it. They're going out there, they're weeding their spiritual souls. Oh my gosh, they're finally pruning things. And God's like, yes, no longer babies. They can now be a little bit more self-sufficient. Oh my gosh, they're in the adolescent spiritual lifetime, right? Where they're like, sometimes good, sometimes drives me nuts, but hey, they're getting it. And oh my gosh, they're spiritual adults. They're teaching everyone else how to do this. And God is cheering you on. But friends, it takes work. And some of you guys, you got to admit, man, you're like on the baby infant stage. And you haven't grown at all because you're just waiting for someone else to do it for you. Or you're blaming other people, right? And you're in spiritual diapers, and you're like, man, how come I can't grow? And I'm like, just look at your thing. It's not like you can't. It's not like God's not allowing you to, but like you're just satisfied with your diaper and your passy, right? And you're waiting for someone to change your diaper. And I'm like, no. Work it out, man. Let's go. Let's do this. And sometimes allow it to happen. Friends, I know some of you guys, we're in a season of the desert and the wilderness, and you're railing against God. You're like, I hate the fact that you brought me into this dry spot. And God's like, no. I might change you in the desert because maybe that's where my lessons for you are. Don't rail against me even in the hard spots. Allow it to work out because maybe when the time comes, you get out of this season, you'll be stronger than you thought you ever were because you allowed it to take place, huh? Well, I don't know what you need to do, friends. Maybe it's all Maybe it's the watering, pruning, weeding, and fertilizing by tomorrow. I don't know. It could be everything. But here's the thing. Don't go crazy with this. I think it's just meant to go, hey, let's honest assess and let's put some action to it. And you're not going to do this by like randomly falling into it. I think some of you guys, y'all might need a Google calendar this, man. Tuesday, let's weed, right? And like, it's not sexy, but you got to do it. Let's put some action items to it, right? You're not going to fall into growth. You got to put some work into it. And I think that's what it's going to look like. But man, what would happen? This church starts to actually take it on. In a couple of months, when we get back together, man, how much further along in this journey can we be? That's the hope. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this moment. God, we thank you for passages like this because it challenges us, I think. It kind of wakes us up from our spiritual slumber at times. I think for a lot of us, either we've gotten too complacent or apathetic. Maybe for some of us, this is just what we do. And maybe this is a season where we do need to figure out, how do we water our own souls? How do we ask for help? How do we prune and how do we fertilize, God? God, there's so many distractions out there for us. And it's so easy to be taken off this course. But would you put in our souls, in our minds, what it could look like? The beauty of looking at you and being with you and knowing that you love us and you are in your joy, you cheer us on. But then, man, we get to grow. Put that in our hearts, God, so that can be our hope and our pleasure. In your son's name, pray. Amen.